Shalom Aleichem. This week, we're going to discuss Be'ezer Hashem. What, if anything, do we understand about Yitzchak? The parsha is incredibly puzzling. Right? Incredibly puzzling. In terms of what appears to be on the surface, Yitzchak Avinu's behavior. And I think perhaps we'll get a little bit more insight. Last year, we talked about Yitzchak and Rivka's praying in order to merit to have children. And there was a very fundamental Arve Nachal. Arve Nachal, he's buried in Tzfas, just the level below the Arizal. And he's also the Levush Estrad in the Shulchan Aruch. He says a fascinating, fascinating thing. I'd like to go over it just for us, just so that we could properly appreciate some of the questions we're going to come upon. The Pasuk says, if you look in the beginning of page 1, it says, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto. And Yitzchak prayed. The terminology used here for prayer is Vayetar. He prayed opposite his wife, the presence of his wife, opposite his wife, Ki'akorohi, because she was barren. Ve'yaselo Hashem, atah Rivka Ishto. And Hashem listened to the prayers of Yitzchak. It says, Vayetar lo, that Hashem responded to the prayers of Yitzchak. Vatar Rivka Ishto, and Rivka conceived. So Rashi says on Vayetar, Hirba v'hiftzir b'tfilo. He davened tremendous amount, and he beseeched an incredible amount. So both quantitatively and qualitatively, he was pouring his heart out in tefillah. Vayeaser lo, right? Hashem listened to his prayers. The diuk is that Hashem just listened to his prayers. It doesn't say vayeaser lo hayam. We know both of them are praying. It says Hashem listened to his prayers. Vayeaser lo. Rashi says nitpatzer, nispatzer, v'nispayes, v'nispatel lo. The Omer Anisha called Loshon Atar Loshon Haftzara V'Ribuhu. Rashi says that the terminology is a terminology of davening an excessive amount, which is excessive, exceeding, davened exceedingly. V'Yaoser Lo, says Rashi, Lo V'Lo Lo. Hashem responded to his prayers and not her prayers. She'ein Dome Tfila Sadik Ben Sadik L'Tfila Sadik Ben Rasha L'Fichach Lo V'Lo Lo. So we're all familiar with this, what appears to be on the surface, the claim that the tefillah of what appears, the tefillah of the tzaddik, ben tzaddik, which is the case over here with Yitzchak, the son of Avram, gets greater, as it were, weight, has greater weight than the tefillah of the tzaddik ben Rasha, because we know that Rivka's father, Besuel, was a Rasha, her brother was a Rasha, they were all Rishayim. The Arve Nachal, I'm not going to read the whole Arve Nachal inside. He has many questions there, and it's really very fascinating. But he says a fundamental idea. He has a fundamental question, first of all. He says, we see in Chazal, in the Gemara and Tainis, it says they were praying for rain. And Reb Elezer prayed, right, 24, right, prayers, and he wasn't answered. And Rabbi Akiva got up there, and he davened once and he was answered. And the Gemara says, not because Rabbi Akiva is necessarily greater than Rabbi Elazar, but rather, Mibnei Shezeh Mavir al Midosav. He had to, as it were, push away certain issues. And the Ramami Pano says, what's the perush in that? What issues did Rabbi Akiva have to push away? He says, Lefi Shehaya Ben Gerim. V'hutzrach lishbor tivo umidosav. He didn't come from the same sort of background that Rebbe Elazar came from. And therefore, right, he was a descendant, he says, of Ben Gerim. Right? So we know that Rebbe Akiva was an Amoritz also in the beginning. He had things to overcome. And because he had things to overcome, his tefillah carried more weight, and therefore Rebbe Akiva was answered, whereas Rebbe Elazar wasn't answered. So this is the exact opposite concept that Rashi's telling us over here with regard to Yitzchak and Rivka. That Hashem listened to the tefillos of Yitzchak. Why? Because he's the tzaddik ben tzaddik. Rather than listening to the tefillos of Rivka because she's a tzaddik vasa rasha. And that's the exact opposite of what we learned in the Gemara in Tanyas with regard to Rabbi Elazar of Akiva. Not only that, and this is a diuk I think we made at the time, but the Arbe Nachal says it as well. The Rashi says, why did Hashem listen to him? She'ein dome tefillah tzaddik ben tzaddik. There's no comparison between the tefillah of tzaddik ben tzaddik lit tefillah tzaddik ben rasha. If Rashi meant to tell us that the tefillah of tzaddik ben tzaddik was more potent, it should have been reversed. It should have said, there's no comparison between the tefillah of a tzaddik ben rasha to the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. Not the other way around, right? If you want to tell me that the tzaddik ben tzaddik's tefillah is better, you should say there's no comparison between the tefillah of a tzaddik ben rasha to the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. That's the higher thing. But here Rashi does the exact reverse. There's no comparison between the tefillah ben tzaddik ben tzaddik to the tefillah of tzaddik ben rasha. That implies the tefillah of tzaddik ben rasha is better. If the tefillah of tzaddik ben rasha is better, then why did Hashem listen to the tefillah of Yitzchak? He's the tzaddik ben tzaddik. The Arbe Nachal says an unbelievable yesod over here. And it's kind of just mention it just to, because it's so incredibly fundamental. He says, how do we understand tefillah b'chalal? How do we understand it? Hashem changes his mind. How does it work? So he said, there are two pathways to tefillah. There's certain things that Hashem wants to bring to the world specifically through the avenue of tefillah. He wants the tefillahs to be said in order to bring them into the world. And this is the fundamental idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'ave l'tefilosim shel tzaddikim. Hashem desires the tefillah of the tzaddik. And that's why he wants this thing to come into the world through the avenue of tefillah. It's not like Hashem changed his mind. This was the avenue that he wanted to begin with. And he wants the tzaddik to daven, and to daven again, and to daven again. Because as the tzaddik davens again, he himself grows in his bitachon and emun and Hashem. Right? He shows over and over again how everything is from the Rabbon Shalom. And not only that, but he also shows the world how deeply one has to be committed and be mispalel to Hashem. That's one way. He says there's another way that things come in. And that is that Hashem gives down everything that's necessary. Nothing changes. Everybody has everybody. Hashem provides the world with everything that everybody needs. The problem is the plumbing along the way gets messed up. People do averas. Things take place. This plugs up the plumbing. In that case, it's not Hashem changes his mind. The tefillah of the person unplugs the stoppages in the pipelines, and then everything comes down. We've talked about this before. Mashal mahadavar, don't know what's it comparable to. If you have an urn with hot coffee in it, and you're standing next to it, and you put your cup underneath the spigot, and you open up the spigot, you get a full cup of coffee. Someone else can walk over, and they open up the same spigot from the urn. They have the cup at a 45-degree angle. They have half a cup of coffee, and their suede shoes now are covered with coffee and throw them in the garbage. If they turn the cup at a 90-degree angle, they have absolutely nothing in the cup. It's all the same coffee. It's all the same urn. It's all the same flow that's coming out. But now they have absolutely nothing in the cup. Their shoes are in the garbage. And the clothing is filthy and needs to go to the cleaners. And if they turn it upside down, the cup, they turn it 180 degrees, it's all the same coffee. They have a trip to the emergency room. It's all the same coffee. So the tefillos, in that case, align our ability to receive what Hashem wants to give us. Says the Arvei Nachal. Rashi is telling us the opposite of what people think it means. The tefillah of the tzaddik ben rasha is indeed, right, more chashuv. And that's why Hashem listened to the tefillos of Rabbi Kiva over the tefillos of Rabbi Lezer. Because it was harder for Rabbi Akiva to overcome the background when he davened. Hashem desires the tefillah of the tzaddik, But a tzaddik ben rasha, he's overcoming more. It's a greater, more potent tefillah. In this case over here, though, if Rivka would keep on davening, Hashem might not answer immediately. He will eventually, but he may not answer immediately. Why? Because he wants to hear more tefillahs and more tefillahs. Therefore, the tefillah of Yitzchak had to be so potent and so strong. Please, Hashem, listen to my tefillahs and allow my wife to conceive. Have rachmanis on her. Allow my wife to conceive. And in that way, Hashem listened to the tefillahs of Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak, what do you call it? Yitzchak, right? The power of his tefillah enabled it to happen. But if we'd gone with the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires to hear the tefillahs of the tzaddik, and especially the tzaddik ben Rasha, they might have been still standing there afterwards. Why is the tefillah of the tzaddik ben Rasha more precious in that sense to the Rebbeinu Shalom? Because it's light coming out of darkness. That's a terminology that Levush Srod brings down here from the Zohar. Leis Nahura, right towards the end of the paragraph there in the Arvei Nachal, it's bolded and underlined. Leis Nahura el Ganafik Migocha Shucha. There is no light that is comparable to the light that comes out of darkness. When it's light, and everywhere it's more light, less light, okay, that's great, that's terrific. But light that comes out of darkness, i.e. a tzaddik ben rasha, that's the greatest light. That's the greatest, greatest light. Keep that in mind. This is a principle. Remember, Yitzchak was aware that he had to overcome, as it were, and outbalance the tefillos of his wife, because she was a tzaddikis basa rasha. And therefore, Hashem might want to hear her tefillahs over and over and over and over and over again. And Yitzchak had to put all his power into his tefillahs, both quantitatively and qualitatively, to overcome the fact that Hashem would probably want her to daven more and more and more and more. No, enough. Listen to my tefillahs. Allow my wife to conceive. Again, why? Because he understood that there's no greater light than the light that comes out of darkness. This is an important point. This wasn't our topic at all. But light that comes out of darkness is our topic. Let's now go on. Right? They're born, the twins, Yaakov and Esav. And the Pasuk says in Perek Chafei Pasuk Chafches, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav, Kitzayid b'fiv, v'rifka oheves es Yaakov. Pasuk tells us that Yitzchak had love for Esav, kitzayid b'fiv, because tzayid is in hunting, right? It was in the mouth, so that's not clear. Whose mouth are we talking about here? Rashi brings two explanations. Kitargumo b'fiv shel Yitzchak. Yitzchak had love for Esav, because Esav fed him fresh venison. He hunted, he brought it, Yitzchak ate it. Or, Umidrasho, says Rashi, the thief shall Esav, shayetzad oso umermeu bidvorov. Mermeu bidvorov. So Rashi says the phrase, kitzayid b'fiv, he brings two explanations. Does it mean that Yitzchak had love for Esav because Esav fed him? Or does it mean that Yitzchak had love for Esav because Esav trapped him? Tzayid. Esav entrapped him. He said words, oh, you know, how do you miser the salt? How do you miser the straw? He wants to show he's a tzaddik. Those are the two perushim that Rashi gives. In either perush, this doesn't look good at all. What's the pshat? Is Avinu Yitzchak, a father Yitzchak, so swayed, according to the first parish, because Esav, the Rasha, gives him food, and therefore, that's why he loves him? It says, Rivka oheves es Yaakov. She loves him, and there's no explanation. She loves him because she loves him. He's worthy of love. But Yitzchak's love for Esav is based upon the fact that Esav is feeding him? Oh my goodness, how superficial. And if it's the other Perish, that Esav was able to entrap him, how gullible. He's easy to tzaddik. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? The Chasam Sofer adds a little bit over here, and he says that the reason that Yitzchak was so impressed with Esav is because Esav was going out into the field, he was involved in Olam Hazeh, and nonetheless, he was asking questions about, you know, how do you measure the salt? How do you measure the straw? He wanted to, you know, show that he was into things, and that's why he was so impressed with him, that he was a man of the world, and still, right, even though he was a man of the world, he was also interested in what the diktuk, the being scrupulous in the halacha. Rivka, on the other hand, says the Chasam Sofer was impressed with Yaakov, right? In other words, because to each one, it was a new experience. Yitzchak was brought up in the home of, what do you call it, of Avram. So he lived a life of spirituality all the time. To see somebody going out into the world and still maintaining his connection, oh, that's very interesting. Wow, that's very nice. That's wonderful. Even though he's out in the world, he's a man of the field, and he still has interest in the halacha and the dictur. It's wonderful. That's why he loved him. Rivka, on the other hand, she came up from a house of horse thieves. She came to the house of love, and she came to the house of Besuel. So she was impressed with Yaakov. Yaakov, that's what Chasam Sofer says. Okay? But meanwhile, right, still there's something really funny going on over here. Who is Yitzchak? Who is Yitzchak? That he should love Esav because Esav fed him? Or that he should be gullible, right? And think that Esav is a tzaddik, right? Because Esav would ask him these questions, how do you measure the salt, how do you measure the straw? What's going on? Now let's fast forward. We're coming to the time of the brachos. It says, Vayigash, Vayishak lo. This is after Yaakov comes in with the meal for Yitzchak that his mother prepared. Mm. He's wearing the clothing of Esav. Esav's special clothing, the clothing that originally belonged to Adam Arishon, that was eventually came into the hands of Nimrod, and Esav afterwards, they called, took it from Nimrod, but Yaakov was wearing it now. These are the special clothing of Adam Arishon. It says, Vayigash, and Yaakov came close to Yitzchak, Vayishak lo, and Yitzchak kissed him, Vayorach esreach begodav, and he smelled the fragrance of his clothing, and he blessed him. Vayomer, and he said, Re'ei reach b'ni k'reach ha'soda asher berchu Hashem. Remember, Yaakov had the skins, right, of goats on him, goat's hair on him, so he should feel hairy like Esav. Yitzchak smells the fragrance coming from Yaakov, and he says, ah, he has the fragrance, right, of the sada, reich b'ni k'reich ha-sada, Hashem berchu Hashem, the sada that Hashem is blessed. So Rashi says, what's going on here? What fragrance? He's got goat skins on him. He's a little ein reich ra, there's nothing that has a foul, more foul odor than shetef ha'izim, skinned, what he called goats, freshly skinned goats, right, with their hair on his arms. That's not fragrant. That's a stench. El Malamed, says Rashi, Shenichnasa imo reach Gan Eden. When Yaakov came in, there was a reach of Gan Eden. The fragrance of Gan Eden was there. And Yitzchak comments, Ki reach sode asher berchu Hashem. He came in with the fragrance of the sode of the field that's blessed by Hashem, says Rashi, Shenazim bo reach tov. It's got to have a beautiful fragrance to it. V'zeu sadei tapuchim. This is the field of apples. Field of apples. What's a field of apples? So the Gemara says in Tainis, you know, what's this field of apples? That's re'ei b'ni re'ach k're'ach asar she b'erchu Hashem. He says the re'ach of tapuchim. What apples? So Rashi says, over here, it's not tapuchim, even though it says apples. It's like in Shir HaShirim. It says it in more than one place. Tosis says, I'm sorry, that when it says apples, reach b'ni k'reach hasodeh, steak tapuchim, It's a reich of an esrog. Why of an esrog? So, because an esrog is the tree where the fruit remains all year, and even though the leaves ordinarily on most trees come first and then the fruit, but since the fruit of the esrog stays on the tree from year to year, sometimes the fruit, right, precedes the leaves. The old fruit is still there and it precedes the new leaves. This is the idea Chazal teach us in the Gemara and Shabbos, that this, the idea of the esrog that Klal Yisrael is compared to is the idea of Nasa v'Nishma, where the fruit come before the leaves. It's not the normal order of things. So this was the reach. This was the reach of Gan Eden that came in with Yaakov. It's the reach of the field of Esrogim, where the fruit comes before the, what do you call, before the leaves. The Yesod of Nasa v'Nishma. That's what Yitzhak smelled when Yaakov walked in. So now, let's examine the Medrash over here. Two very interesting things. It says, Nichnas etel aviv, this is the Medrash HaGad in Breishis. When Yaakov came in, ve'riach shenema v'yarach es reach begodav. It says, Yitzhak smelled the fragrance of Yaakov's clothing. Shariach Yitzchak Ba'osa Areach Shenekar Al Gabi Mizbeach. The fragrance that Yitzchak experienced when Yaakov walked in was the same fragrance that he sensed when he was put on the Mizbeach by his father in Har Moriah. That is the sun that we're talking about here. Just like if you remember correctly in Parshas Chayesara, that before Rivka appears, it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. He went out to daven in the sade. It's the sade of the mikdash, right? The same mikdash that he was put on the altar by his father Avram. The akedah took place there. That's the same place where he prayed. And then Rivka appeared, what he called. Eliezer brought her from what he called, from Chutz Laretz. The reach that Yitzchak smelled from Yaakov, it reminded him of the reach that he experienced when he was, what he called, when he was put on the Akedah, that which is the reach of Nasa before Nishma, the reach of the Esrog. That Yitzchak is the word. He didn't understand why Hashem wanted this from him, but this is what Hashem wants, and so you do it. Do you understand? You'll figure it out afterwards. He accepted. That was the reach that he smelled. That was one thing. Dover Acher, says the Medrash. Vayorach es reach begodav bogdav. So the Medrash says two very different sources for the fragrance that came out of Yaakov's begodim when he came to bring the food for Yitzchak. One is that Yitzchak, it reminds him of the fragrance that he smelled when he was on the altar at the time of the Akedah, right? In other words, what Yaakov was bringing to him here somehow is a continuation of who he is. Of who he is, the fact that that Yitzchak had that fragrance when he had the Akedah, and now Yaakov is coming in. Yaakov, we think, is Esav, is coming in with that same fragrance. Ah, this must be the right thing to do now, to give the bracha. Or another possibility, the Medrash says, don't read the word begodav, his clothing, rather bogdav, his traitors. What does that mean? And the Medrash tells over the story of two traitors to the Jewish people. One, Yaakov Mishtroros, and the other one named Yosef Meshisa. I'll tell over one story, the story of Yosef Meshisa. Yosef Meshisa was a renegade. He had betrayed the Jewish people. And when the Beis HaMikdash was conquered, the enemy was afraid to go in to take anything because they're afraid that something might happen to them. They had, even though they conquered the Beis HaMikdash, but they were still afraid to walk in. And they said to this Yosef Meshisa, you go in. You go in. And any vessel that you find there, you can keep. He's not afraid. He goes in. He takes out the menorah. He comes out with the menorah. And they say to him, well, that's much too fancy for a commoner. let us go to the king. Go and get something else. He says, no. I vexed my creator once. The experience of going into the Beis HaMikdash transformed him. I vexed my creator once. I will not vex him again. Go in, go in. We'll give you whatever you want to take. I vexed my creator once. I will not vex him again. Go in, go in. We'll make you in charge of taxes. You'll be free for taxes and you can collect all the taxes. You can have a tremendous, what do you call it, a percentage of it. You'll become a wealthy, wealthy man. Go in. I vexed my creator once. I will not vex him again. Go in or we'll kill you. I vexed my creator once. I will not. We'll go torture you. I vexed and they sawed him in half. And all he could say as they were sawing him in half was, I vexed my creator. I vexed my creator. That was the fragrance. There was a fragrance that came from that. So the first pshat in the Medrash says, the fragrance was the fragrance that reminded Yitzchak of his going up on the altar. Right? This experience, I'm going to give a bracha to somebody, thinks Yitzchak. I'm going to give a bracha to somebody now, and it's going to be a continuation of my life of Avodas Hashem. Because I smell the fragrance here that reminds me of the same fragrance that I experienced when I was in Akedah. The bracha I'm going to give now is going to be in the continuity that actually that which I received from Avram, I'm not going to pass on to my son. But then the Medrash says the other pshat also. He smelled the fragrance of the traitors. Because that's what we talked about before. Yitzchak was sensitive to the idea now that perhaps we need a new idea also in the brachos, in the next stage of the avos. Right? Avram taught us Ava, Yitzchak taught us Yira, and now we need somebody who's going to be able to extract, remember, the light out of the darkness. So when he smelled the fragrance of the traitors of the Jewish people who returned, Betshuva, that was a fragrance. He says, ah, now it's time to give the bracha. Now it's time to give the bracha. And this is in line with Yitzchak's thinking all along. It's not that he fooled, he thought Esav was a tzaddik. He knew Esav wasn't perfect. But he saw Esav as a person who caught, it's true, Esav, when he told him, how do you mice in the straw? How do you mice in what he called the salt? So it's not like Yitzchak thought, oh, he's a choir boy. He knew he wasn't a choir boy. But at least he's in the midst of his being involved in the world of darkness, and even though he's going to mess up, but he'll do tshuva. He'll be the person to extract light from darkness. That's what he thought Esav was. The truth is that Esav had no interest in extracting light from darkness. Esav was a world of darkness. But Yitzchak didn't know that, right? The fact that Esau was feeding him. Sorry. Give me a share. I can't answer right now. I'm home. I can't answer right now. Sorry. So when Esav fed him, right? Esav's a guy. He's out in the world. He's all. He's enmeshed in everything in the world. But he's not going to keep it up. Light from darkness. Esav's out in the world. He's in the mud and the muck, right? But he's asking me how to meister. So Yitzchak didn't think Esav was a tzaddik, and he knew that Yaakov was a bigger tzaddik. He knew Yaakov was a real tzaddik. But we need to take the next step. The next step is we need somebody who can extract, right? Light from darkness. Then what happens? He gives the brachas to Yaakov. And then what happens is, Derech Agav, the Targum is so interesting. The Targum in this pasuk that Yitzchak kissed Yaakov and he smelled the fragrance. Listen to this other thing that Targum Yonason says. It says, V'kori v'noshik v'orach reach d'levushe u'berchi v'amar tamun reicha divri kereicha diktores. He smelled the reach of ktores. What's ktores? Ktores, we know, is made up of sweet-smelling spices along with chelbana that has a foul odor in it. A foul odor in it. And Rashi, we recall, tells us that that's precisely the point, because the Torah is what shows the strength of the Jewish people. Those who are tzaddikim, and those who have fallen, but they're struggling to pick themselves up, and they want to attach themselves to the rest of it, but even though they're not in any particularly high madrega, but all together it gives an exquisite fragrance. This is exactly what Yitzchak thought was the next stage. And so he gives the brachas to whom he thinks is Esav, but really is Yaakov. Yaakov leaves, Esav comes in, and the pasuk says, Vayechrad Yitzchak. When Esav says, I'm here to give you, I brought you the food for the brachas, and Esav, and Yitzchak is like, what? He's in a state of stupefaction. Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gdola ad mod, vayomer mi efo atzad tzayid, vayavei li, vochal b'chol mikol terem tavo v'avarchel gam baruch yeh. Yitzchak, right? He's in a state of turmoil. Who is it? And what does he say? He says, Vayave li, and he brought for me, v'ochal mikol, and I ate of everything. Says Rashi, mikol tamim, shebikashti lit'om, tamti bo. How can Yitzchak talk about this? Every taste I wanted to taste was there. I mean, goodness gracious. This is what he called, he just gave the bracha to the wrong person. And all I can think about is every taste I wanted to taste in the food was there? What are we talking about? Wow, that was really delicious. I can't believe it. I gave the bracha to the wrong person. Ella, what he means is, I tasted Gan Eden here. I tasted Gan Eden here. Gan Eden. Every taste that was in that food was laced with Kedusha. In everything I could taste it, mikol tamim shebikashti l'tom, in all the food that I tasted Kedusha inside of it. It's very fascinating. The Gemara learns that the Avos, Hashem gave them a taste of Gan Eden in this world. That's what we say in benching. Bakol, mikol, kol. By Avram, it says bakol. By Yaakov, it says, Yesh Mikol, that's in Parshas Vayishlach. In our Parsha here, Mikol, this Pasuk here, that means he tasted Gan Eden in his lifetime. And Yitzchak understood. I tasted light coming from darkness. The fragrance here was the fragrance of someone who messed themselves over and then picked themselves up. That's what he thought Esav was, but it wasn't. It's the future generations, even the Rishayim, that will come from Yaakov and they'll do tshuva. That was the fragrance he smelled. And he realizes now that Esav wasn't supposed to get the bracha. The light that was going to come from darkness wasn't from Esav, because Esav had no interest in bringing light from darkness. But Yaakov, in addition to his being the tzaddik who could sit in the Beis HaMedrash all the time, Yaakov ish tam yoshev oalim, Yaakov was going to have a people that even when they fall off, even when they go off the derech, but they'll be able to pick themselves up again, and the Jewish people will embrace them, and there'll be a fragrance that will come from the collection, just like Torahs of all of them. That's the light that's meant to come from the darkness. That was his error. He wanted light from darkness, but he thought Esav could supply it, when really Esav couldn't supply it. Yaakov could supply it. So Yitzchak says, right? He says to Esav, Vayomer ba achicha b'mirma. Chazal tell us what he called it. It was not a straight way. It was, Rashi says, b'chachma. But nonetheless, the word mirma usually means trickery. In other words, your brother shows that sometimes he'll have to go in a very roundabout fashion in the world. It's not always going to be so easy. It's not always going to be so straight. He's going to be in places that are, what do you call it, that are not so pleasant. But he'll extract, what do you call it, the light from there. That bracha belongs to him. I see it now. The bracha belongs to him. Because when he came in, I smelled Gan Eden. And when you came in, Esav, I smelled Gehenna. Vayikach berchoscha right? He took your bracha. Oso brachas is a svarno. Shahaisa ru'uya lachula lecha. Shahaisa binyani olam hazeh. That bracha that I thought belonged to you, inyani olam hazeh. You'd live a rough and tumble life, but you'd be able to extract the light from the darkness. I see it wasn't meant to go to you. It was meant to go to Yaakov, Gam Baruch Yeh. So if we recap, just for a scooch, that which we saw at the very beginning in terms of the prayers of Yitzchak and Rivka, and the koach of Rivka's tefillas, that's this idea, this concept of light that comes from darkness. The tzaddik, who's what do you call it, for the son of the Rasha, who davens, right? The strength of that tefillah, Yitzchak overcame it, but he recognized that incredible value, the strength, right? The strength of the tefillahs of the tzaddik that come from the Rasha, the light that comes out of the darkness. This is what he wanted for this next stage of the development of the Avos, at least in part of it, yeah, to come from Esav. He knew that Yaakov would carry on the Abrahamic tradition of Tzidkis, but this concept of darkness that would give birth to light, he thought that belonged to Esav. But then he saw even that didn't belong to Esav. The Jewish people are going to have many types. Those who are the Tzadikim Gemurim, those are the Balei Tshuva, and from all of them will come what Hashem wants, the glorification of Hashem's name, in perfection and in struggle to extract oneself from one's mistakes. So, it's a point to ponder. And there's more here, but I think that's like a sufficient for now. Be'ez Hashem, we should have a good Shabbos, and hopefully the parsha will be more meaningful to us as well. Be well.